It's mid-August and back to school. Once your kids hit preschool, your life pretty much begins to revolve around the academic calendar. And we approach it as the beginning of a new year, and really in a lot of ways it is. Over the next 6 weeks, we'll be exploring an invitation to the rhythms of life. And what are the healthy life rhythms for you, for your children, and your family? We'll cover topics such as schedules, transitions, and even anxiety. We invite you to visit our blog, loveandleadparenting.com. We will be posting there and hope to hear from you as we journey together. Matthew 6:33 in the Message reads, "Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. God is here. He's at work to love and lead you as you in turn love and lead your kids." As this podcast helps or encourages you, we invite you to like it, share with a friend. Let's get started. Hey, welcome to Love and Lead, week number 2. We're glad you came back. So our first episode, we had talked about back to school and preparing and transitioning into your school year. And this time we're going to dive into a topic really that we're talking about this whole 6 weeks, Jean. We're talking about healthy rhythms and an invitation to our healthy rhythms. Can you break that down a little bit more? What do we mean?
Sure. We all know, we all understand that a day has a rhythm. You get up at a certain time, you eat at a certain time, you go to bed at a certain time. It might not always be exactly the same, but we understand that idea that a day has a wake up and an ending. A week has a rhythm. There's either school Monday through Friday or work Monday through Friday, and then a couple days off. There's just these rhythms that happen naturally. And so healthy rhythms is the idea of making sure what we're doing is good for us. It is those things that are life-giving, those things that make us feel joy or peace or satisfaction. I know in my own life, there are times when I have allowed my schedule to get out of whack and I just go without any rest time put in, and I end up being very crabby. If my husband were here, he would be able to tell you exactly what it looks like when I start being overwhelmed. And so what we want to talk about is this idea of healthy rhythms, kind of in a big picture with some practical specific help also, but big picture, how do we help ourselves live a life that's going to be life-giving and healthy? And how do we help our children do that too? Something that kids don't innately know. They'll play until they fall over. They will just, I don't know how many of your kids have fallen asleep in their dinner because they've just gone. We need to help them learn to have healthy rhythms in their life. And so,
well, Jean, and even as you're describing that, the first word that pops in my head is sustainability.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Right? Because we can, as you said, you know, we can burn that fuel a little bit long for different times, but if we don't come back and find that rhythms, it's the sustainability of our lives that just isn't there. Mm-hmm. And actually, while you were talking, I had a funny memory. A picture of when I learned how to ski in Colorado.
Okay.
So we were learning how to point our skis to go down the hill. You obviously, as a beginner, you don't point your skis straight down the mountain in Colorado. And my teacher kept coming around and he's like, "Get on top of your skis, get on top of your skis." Well, what was happening, Jean, is if you do get them pointed down too much, like my skis were getting out ahead of me.
Okay.
And my body weight wasn't on them. Therefore, I could not control myself and where I was going. Leads to a spill. But just a visual image for us of what does happen to us. If our life gets pointed downhill, so to speak, going too fast, then all of a sudden we lose the control and the movement that we need to be adaptable, right? You know, as a parent, when we go to the fringes and there's no margin, our toddler all of a sudden bites another kid at the daycare or something. And you've got something you've got to handle. And there's no margin. There's no love left, you know?
Right.
So I think we're looking at, it's so important to have that sense of, I can move with what needs to happen in each situation, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think a good starting point in thinking about healthy rhythms is, where are we as adults, as people, as parents, where are we currently? Mm-hmm. You know, what is taking more of our time than it should? Those things that are sucking the life out of us versus what are the things that aren't getting enough attention? Those life-giving things that we think, I would do that if I had enough time. And I know this one so well. I let myself get into these ruts of thinking I have to do everything until I finally learned that maybe I could say no to something, and it changed my whole outlook on life. It changed my perspective. And I remember that even when my kids were young, thinking that, remember I was homeschooled my children and I compared myself to other homeschooling families. And I saw what they were doing. They had these projects that were amazing. Mm-hmm. They put in these whole pollinator gardens and they grew their own vegetables and they had honeybees or whatever it was, which was fantastic. But then I thought I had to do something huge and amazing like that as well. And I was just on this treadmill, just trying to go as fast as I could to keep my head above water, trying to keep up with them. Until I hit a place where I just couldn't do anything. I almost couldn't get out of bed one day. And I thought, I've got to be able to take some of this pressure off. And so I had a conversation with both my husband and with Jesus. And what could I change to make it feel more healthy and more holistic? What was I doing that I hadn't been called to do? What was I trying to do that didn't fit in with my personality or the personalities of my children? Mm-hmm. And it started a wonderful time of life of analyzing things. Am I doing this because this is going to be good for us as a family? Or am I doing this because I feel like I have to? Mm-hmm. As an example, my kids weren't in a lot of extracurriculars. We did it at home since we were homeschooling, and having to do one more thing, have one more thing on my calendar at that time in my life was too much for me. And so we, for a period of time, didn't do hardly anything outside of school. Mm-hmm. I know other families who do lots of extracurriculars because it really feeds them. They love doing those things as a family. Some friends took a vacation with their two kids and they were gone for, I don't know, few weeks and hit probably 10 different state parks or national parks, whatever it was. It was this huge thing. And I'm listening to him thinking, that sounds exhausting.
Right.
But that family loved it. They absolutely loved it. So you've got to figure out for you, for yourself, for your, and then for your kids, for your family as a whole, what is your starting point? Are you somebody who can handle a lot of different things and that's good for you? Or do you need a different rhythm?
Those are such great examples, Jean. And I feel we're just coming off of vacation season. So it is fascinating to have those conversations. We went to the beach this year, and our definition of vacation is very unstructured in general. It's a lot of resting, relaxing, a lot of pool, a lot of ocean, you know, eat out a couple of times. But you need to know what rejuvenates you, even on vacation, right? Because you don't want to come back exhausted, I guess, unless that's your rhythm. And then you need to schedule in how do you get the rest. But yes, I think there is a lot we learn about ourselves and our kids and our family dynamics. I mean, okay, just a little soapbox moment. Do we really need to take the toddler to the most expensive restaurant to try to enjoy? Is this the season of life?
Step up on that soapbox.
I mean, I was like, ride the McDonald's train. Like, first of all, it's cheap and they're happy. Like, cooperating with our kids' season as a family, it just might not be the season for that. Hire the babysitter, go out to that nice restaurant, have that dinner date and enjoy that. But noticing, yeah, what works for family as well, not only me, what do we all kind of need? So it doesn't, how do we avoid it, Jean, from becoming a tug of war? How do we find that synchronization as a family?
Such a good question. And I wish there was a very simple answer, but sadly there's not. I think it really comes down to considering other people's needs, putting other people's needs before our own. Does that sound like any scripture you've ever heard? And so to your point, we've all seen the family that has taken the toddler to the restaurant and it's miserable for everybody. It would be a more loving thing to do something different. Mm-hmm. If your value is for the whole family to go out to eat once in a while as a special thing, then pick a restaurant that's going to satisfy all of you at the same time. If your value is to get a date time with your significant other, then you are going to need to get a babysitter. Those things are true. One of the things about having the whole family be energized and have that healthy rhythm is really to have a combination of child-centered plans and rhythms and adult-centered plans or rhythms. Neither side gets to control everything.
That's so good, Jean.
So, thinking about, let's say, the weekends.
Okay.
You know, that's a natural rhythm that comes every week. And so, if you're people who work outside the home, typically Monday through Friday, your kids are in school Monday through Friday. Here comes the weekend, and you all have your various plans of what you want to do. Kids typically want to. When they're little, they want to play or they want to go someplace. When they get older, they want to sleep in. Then they want to see their friends. You want to get a lot of tasks done. And no one is going to end up happy if everybody's trying to do each other's thing. It's a wonderful opportunity to help every member of the family value the others. That nobody's going to get their way 100% of the time.
Right.
But nobody's going to get it 0% of the time either. You're going to have to take a look at the things your family loves to do as a group and try to do some of those things. I know a family that they all have bicycles and they bicycle.
Sure.
That's what they do. Mm-hmm. They love it. Now, if there happened to be somebody in that family who didn't love to ride a bike, then they might need to find something different that would be their whole family activity. But I think it's important. We'll go on this week rhythm. Mm-hmm. It really is important to use your weekends wisely. And you got on your soapbox. I'm going to get on mine. My soapbox is organized sports. Mm-hmm. I am pro organized sports to a degree. I hate to burst your bubble, parents, but your child most likely will not get a college scholarship, will definitely most likely not become a professional sports person. And so for you to be putting all your time, energy, and money on the weekends, carting your children around to their different sporting events, I would imagine that would make you exhausted. You might want to stop and think, is this worth it? Is it worth the time and money and energy? Or are you all getting overwhelmed by your schedule, getting cranky, and no one's doing those activities that are going to fill them up and get ready for the following week. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not saying nobody should be involved in sports. I'm just saying you're really going to have to look at it and don't let the sport dictate your schedule.
Yeah.
It's not a healthy rhythm.
Absolutely. And I'll jump in too on this. I remember, and there is some lie out there that tells us, you know, our children, to be a good parent, we need to give our children everything.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I found myself falling you know, prey to that. And I remember one time trying to think through our schedule, because it really, you end up, if you say yes to something, you do end up saying no to something else, and just being really intentional about that. I mean, faith is important to our family. If these soccer games are going to be on a Sunday morning, is that a sacrifice I'm willing to make? You know, no, my faith comes first. Mm-hmm. Those are big decisions we're making all the time. When we say yes to something, what's the no? And which one is more important to, again, the long view of our lives? So I had been at one point trying to figure out how to get my daughter in all the activities I wanted her in. And I sensed a prompting by the Lord in my heart, and just kind of a warning, I would say, of what are you modeling for her as you do this, Becky? Like, are you modeling that the entire world revolves around her?
Hmm.
Are you modeling that it revolves around her consuming needs? I didn't have on that list the important activities of learning how to serve, learning how to do tours around the house. Like, what are the long-term goals of parenting? I was just thinking of dance and art and theater and all the fun stuff. It sounds silly now as I look back, but it's just so easy mm-hmm. to fall into. And I really did step back then and look at, just as I try to provide a well-balanced meal mm-hmm. for the nutrients her body needs, like, what's a well-balanced schedule?
That's a good question.
That's living out our values, right? And what I want her, she's going to naturally do that. And I was like, when she's 25, I don't want her just going from thing to thing to thing, thinking that's what life's about her and everything that she ever wants. And I think I was so glad I got warned in that moment, and I could just monitor then what the healthy rhythms would be for her and for our family.
So parents listening right now can take that maybe as the little pre-warning.
Mm-hmm.
Are you teaching your children that the world revolves around them? Or are you trying to instill in them a view of their place in the world mm-hmm. and a view of their place in the kingdom of God? What is God yeah. calling them to do?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, having that conversation with them as a family.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does determine their worldview, right? How we view our world, our life, our schedules, that is what we are passing on to our children, whether we, again, are intentional or unintentional, that is what we're passing on. And that's what they're seeing and learning as the model of, this is what I do in my life. And so it is so important that we sit back and are mm-hmm. thoughtful about what our yeses and our noes.
I can just imagine the scenario of a parent who's doing their very best to make sure their child has all the opportunities available to them, to the point of taking them everywhere all the time. Like, every day after school, there's a new activity and the whole family's on the go, 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 go. And then as people get used to that structure, of that pace of going so quickly, something's got to give. And it's usually the parent who's doing the driving. All of a sudden, they can't stand it anymore and they become grouchy. Then the child might internalize, my parent is a grouch. Mm-hmm. Or that I make my parent
That's
unhappy.
That's what I was thinking, Jean.
It can be any number
Absolutely.
Of things
yep.
based in the moment, mm-hmm. their experience. All because we didn't take time to think about a healthy rhythm. What is going to be life-giving for all of us? And you know, Becky, it's not just in activities, which is what we've been talking about. I think it's also in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so important for parents to know their kids' friends. I remember the first time my teenage son, he was probably 15 at the time, He wasn't yet driving, but he had a friend who was older who was driving. And this friend was going to drive my precious 15-year-old someplace far away. And it was not far away, maybe 2 hours. To a concert, yes. Out of my, you know, my view that I could see him. So I made this friend. I had not met him. I knew the family, but I hadn't really talked to him. And I made him come into the house so I could meet him and tell him again what a precious passenger he was going to have with him. My son was so incredibly embarrassed at the time. Mm-hmm. In retrospect, he felt very loved, very important, very taken care of. Mm-hmm. And I know that me telling this wonderful guy to be careful didn't make him be more careful, but it did let him know this is a family that really cares about kids. And so it's relationships as well. Know your kids' friends, know their families, be the house where kids can come, where your child is. You can be aware of that. But I would also say, what other relationships are important? I had a family that every Sunday night, they had pizza with grandpa. Their grandmother had recently passed, and to help the grandpa feel a little bit more still part of the family and just to hold on to that connection, every Sunday night was pizza with grandpa. And it lasted for, oh goodness, 15 years. And when the kids left for college, they still called grandpa on Sunday nights because that was such an important relationship for them to keep. Yeah. And I just loved that story.
I even liken that, Jean, sometimes the power of our habits, something very simple as pizza on Sunday nights with grandpa, becomes a precious memory for our kids. Mm-hmm. It created that space for relationship, and it will always be that memory, kind of an anchor moment that kind of held them all through life. No matter what happened in my week, if I had a final or if I had, you know, tension with my friends, I know I'm going to have pizza with grandpa on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And isn't there some level of comfort in that rhythm
and that sustainability you were talking about?
That constancy of, you know, whether you've had a good week or a bad week, where we all are in our lives, we kind of come back. This is kind of our centering.
Yeah, that's really good. Mm-hmm. So parents, consider that. Think about what relationships you really want to have your kids carry on with them as they get older.
Yeah.
I know for me, it was very important that my kids had friends where they're closer friends were ones from our church, that church became as important, if not more important, than school friends. I couldn't know all the school friends. Yes, I homeschooled my children, but there came a point when one of my sons went to junior high public school. So I do know this as well. And I was not as comfortable with those friends because I didn't know who they were, or what they thought. And actually those friends ended up not being really good for my son at that time. And he started having some trouble and making some bad decisions. And I'm not saying it was those friends' fault, but I am saying that he was not really ready to try to navigate those situations by himself. And he was not willing at that particular point in his life to have my help in navigating them. But you might consider, if your child is having trouble in school, if they're being bullied, or if they're just not connecting, you might want to think about how you can foster friendships within the church, the youth group, or the whatever children's program you have going on at that church. And if you don't have a church, I would encourage you to find one. And I'm not saying church kids are better or nicer or anything than any other child. I'm just saying you have more of an opportunity to get to know the child and the families if you're in church together.
Yeah. So we spent a lot of time here now talking about reconnecting with family in healthy rhythm. How do we navigate, Jean, our individual needs? And how does that bring life back to the family as we care, you know, and find our, maybe our individual rhythms? Can they strengthen family without having to compete?
Mm-hmm. Good question. And I come back to our theme of the whole podcast, love and lead. We have to put ourselves in places where we can sense God's great love for us. Mm-hmm. Where is He leading us to spend more time with us? Where is He drawing us to that place of peace? In a real practical way, I want to encourage you, if you're not in the habit of spending a few minutes alone each day just to center your thoughts, if you're a praying person, then praying. If you're not, just the idea of stilling yourself, thinking mm-hmm. about your day before it starts in a calm way, or the night before, think about your next day so that you're prepared for what might come, that you're giving God the permission to lead you because He loves you. We have to make sure that we really are doing those things that are refreshing. We always try in our family to have together family time on a weekend, but also individual time, that everybody gets a little bit of time to just spend how they want to do it. I'm also a really big advocate of using summer vacation well. Mm-hmm. You don't have to spend a lot of money and go far away, but you really need to be prepared for what you're going to do that is going to bring life and satisfaction and peace and joy and all of those things that are encapsulated in the word rest. What's going to give your mind and spirit the opportunity to rest and get filled up again?
Mm-hmm. It really is amazing to me. And I imagine most of us have experienced those times where either as a particular friend, I can identify that I'm around, and just by investing an hour and a half or two, like, I feel so refreshed and rested. It just, mm-hmm. it prepares me for my whole rest of my week. And I do feel like I'm better. Again, going back to that word, life-giving, I have life then to bring back to my family, to my work environment, my career, to, you know, if you're married, to your marriage, to your friend, like, it all spills out of that place. And these healthy rhythms, if we give them a picture, that's almost like the roots mm-hmm. of our lives. And if we've got them watered well, we know the rest is going to naturally grow and the fruit will be there and all the rest will come. And so just if there's any time, I'm going to go all the way back to when Natalie was born and little. I didn't really have the option as a single parent to be a stay-at-home mom. However, I did have flexibility on how much I worked. But even in that, Jean, I could tell I was a better parent mm-hmm. by working a few hours a week. And I came back and I was so ready to love and lead and be in my family. And I think that's a common area that parents might feel either guilt that I have to work outside of the home, or, you know, it's taking away from what I'm bringing into my family. I just encourage you, if that's you, to ask the Lord what His invitation is to you, because you might actually flourish better as a parent working some out of the home. You may be the stay-at-home mom. That again goes mm-hmm. back to that comparison thing.
Yep.
That again, we have to find out where our roots really sink in and flourish.
Mm-hmm. So we want to, as we end this week's podcast, we want to leave you with an invitation. Sit with this question. What is life-giving to you? And how can you connect to the other members of your family? Blessings on you as you work through those questions. See you next week.